Want to start with your thoughts about why you think the Falcons felt good with this decision and why you think fans eventually should feel okay with hiring Kevin Stefanski, because I'm sure you're getting the same response as we are. It's kind of been mixed. But why do you think the team and the organization felt good with their decision?
I think that Matt Ryan is a first-time executive. I think it's very likely that they're going to have a first-time general manager. I think so that, for starters, I think it makes sense that one of that group of three, you know, has been through it a few times, has seen it a few times. I always thought Kevin Stefanski made sense from that perspective. I think that Kevin Stefanski is a very good personality fit with Matt Ryan. Publicly, a pretty quiet, flatline guy. Behind the scenes, I think he's known as not a hard ass, but a tough coach. I mean, I think he will coach guys hard. So I think he and Matt just fit. Between that and the experience, I do think, despite Matt's assertion that he was not targeting an offensive guy, which I believe, I don't think he had to have an offensive guy, but I do think he felt some comfort with Kevin Stefanski, and particularly his offensive system.
Right, and you just mentioned the experience factor. How close was Kubiak? I know because we waited, Josh, for Dan Quinn back in 2014-15 for the Seattle season to end. Was Kubiak really a serious candidate here?
I think he was, but you got into a situation where the Falcons saw Harbaugh go. It feels like every third NFL job is open or was open.
Right.
If you let Kevin Stefanski out of the building that Saturday night on the theory that we're going to wait for Clint Kubiak for who knows how much longer, maybe Kevin Stefanski gets gone. So you run a risk-reward there. How seriously they were thinking Kubiak, I don't know the answer to that question. But they clearly felt like they needed to get the trigger pulled on Kevin Stefanski before he left Arthur Blank's house Saturday nights ago, whatever it was.
Josh, it's Josh Kendall, guys, from The Athletic here on Dukes and Bell. I feel like this OC hire is the big one because this offense has been, as you know, being around the team as much as anybody. I mean, it's been the problem. And the other perception right now is we've got a young quarterback that still needs developing. Where do you think they go with this particular hire? We've heard a bunch of names. What do you think they're looking for?
I think that Tommy Reese is still the most likely candidate because I don't think that – I mean, Kevin Stefanski is not looking for somebody to come in and call an offense. Kevin Stefanski is looking for somebody to come in here and help him run his offense. This is a guy who wants to call plays. He has started both of the last two seasons in Cleveland starting plays before turning it over to first Ken Dorsey 2 years ago and then Tommy Reese last year, midpoint of the season, as they were struggling. I would be really surprised if he doesn't open the season calling plays for the Falcons, with the hopes, obviously, that he can carry that through the whole season because things are going smoothly. So, you know, this is not – I don't think Kevin Stefanski was ever going to pursue Mike McDaniel, as intriguing that was for a lot of people, and I completely understand that. But Mike McDaniel's going to come in and run the offense. Kevin Stefanski, in my sense, is going to run the Falcons' offense. So I don't think you're going to see somebody who brings, you know, their own thing to the group. So for a lot of reasons, but mostly that one, I think that Tommy Reese is the most likely candidate at this point.
All right, because we were joking around about it before you came on, Josh. You know, Alabama fans are going, no, when it comes to Tommy Reese. Josh Kendall from The Athletic joins us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. You bring in Callahan, who's, again, well-known guru offensive line. I know Dwayne Ledford was highly regarded, too. So the scheme, do we have the guys? How do you feel about Ryan Neusel at center? Carl and I were talking about that earlier in the week. You think they do some upgrades on the O-line?
I think that there are going to be some adjustments on the O-line. I don't know about upgrades. How they feel about Ryan Neusel, I don't know. He is a little undersized, and this group, Kevin Stefanski and Bill Callahan, are going to want to run, I believe, a more diverse run game than Atlanta ran in the previous years when they were not exclusively wide zone, but as high a percentage as wide zone of anybody in the NFL. Stefanski historically has run – you know, a lot more power runs, duo, gap stuff that generally leans toward bigger offensive linemen. you know, one of the reasons the Falcons run the wide zone is because they've got an offensive line that's built for it.
Right.
They're not quite as well built to just go mash people. This is not the Panthers who went out and got 700 pounds worth of guards in free agency a couple of years ago, and you saw that in their run game. So do they look to upgrade, if upgrade is the right word, at center? Upsize may be the better word. I don't know. I think that all of that is possible, but I don't think it's a given.
Yeah, it's a great point, Josh. What do you think about the general manager? You said an experienced, maybe inexperienced first-time general manager. What are your thoughts there? We continue here, you know, Ian Cunningham, Mike and I were going through some of these names, Texans assistant GM and the Steelers assistant GM. Is there somebody that jumps out to you?
Ian Cunningham has made the most sense from the beginning. I still think that he makes the most sense. I think that all of the candidates, you know, all the candidates that I've seen, the guys that they're bringing in for interviews, have their selling points. It's like the Kevin Stefanski hire. You're just going to have to make a decision and hope you've made the right one, obviously. But I don't, none of us can sit here, and Matt Ryan can't sit there with a crystal ball and say, this guy will work out, this guy won't. Cunningham has worked for the Ravens. He's worked for the Eagles. He was very involved with Ryan Poles in Chicago. He was sort of right alongside him as he did everything he did in Chicago, which is, you know, so far so good. So I think that he checks a lot of boxes and probably will be the guy in the end.
I know that it's a kind of a moot point till we get that GM in here, but just based on, you know, Stefanski and the kind of offense we're working, a lot of 12 out there. Pitts is not a great blocker. Do you think Pitts is still a Falcon next year?
I think that this increases the chance. I didn't think the chances were low. I thought it was, you know, at least 50-50 that Kyle Pitts would be back. But a lot of it will depend on what the market is for him out there. But certainly Kevin Stefanski, as a head coach, won't deter him from being. Stefanski is a guy who has loved tight ends throughout his career. Plays a lot of and posted the ball a lot. So I would think that all of that would be appealing to Kyle Pitts. So much of it is going to be dependent on the outside offers that he gets. And I think that's a real wild card.
Josh, what about the defensive staff staying intact? Who's going to be here? Who's here? And what do you know?
I mean, I don't think that they will make any significant changes. That would they potentially lose somebody? You know, that stuff, that can always happen. But I don't think Jeff Ulbrich is going to look to change anybody. The Falcons clearly like the way they were trending with a young defense and feel like Jeff Ulbrich is the guy to sort of keep that progress moving. And I think that's probably a pretty good call. There's so many young guys on this defense that they feel like can be contributors and really difference makers into the future. And they really clicked with Jeff and the way he plays and his system. So I think that, Kevin Stefanski's willingness to sign off on that and be good with Jeff Ulbrich coming in was probably another reason that they liked Kevin Stefanski.
Talking with Josh Kendall, guys, from The Athletic, as we're getting ready to find out more about Stefanski press conference next Tuesday. You'll hear it right here on 92.9 The Game. All right, let me throw a hypothetical at you, Josh. I know you love those. In the offseason, without having a first-round pick, bigger priority, more size in the interior defensive line, or a real compliment wide receiver to Drake London?
Wide receiver. I think that you can scheme around lack of size. They're both big, but I think you can probably scheme around lack of size on the defensive interior more easily than you can scheme around what we saw at wide receiver last year with Darnell Mooney not able to have the kind of season he had 2 years ago. So I do think that they need more weapons there.
Yeah, I agree with you 200%. And last thing for me as we talk about, you know, the defense, they are assuming, obviously we haven't heard an update because the end of the year and then all these changes, but like Billy Bowman, all these injuries on the defense, we lost significant guys, and this defense still performed at a very high level, considering, you know, some of the milestones that they hit, especially with the sacks and whatnot. What are you hearing on that front as far as anything, if there is anything to report? I don't know, but I've been asked, and I said, you know what, we'll ask one of our guys when we get a chance to talk to him.
No significant updates. I think there are certainly still
you know, reaching way back, you know, for a real deep cut, you know, I think you got to wonder what happens with Troy Andersen into the future.
Sure.
And we don't know. Braylon Trice has missed two seasons in a row, and we just don't know. I think that Billy Bowman was playing really well, or at least showing some real flashes before the Achilles tear, and that you don't know. That can be a long road back. I mean, you can be back, but not all the way back. And that nickel position, particularly the way he plays it, the way they want him to play it, does require some real explosion. So that, for me, is the biggest question mark. It's not necessarily does he come back. I don't think there's any question on that. Is how does he come back? How quickly does it take him to get on the field? How long does it take him to get on the field, and how long does it then take him to feel like himself?
And then finally, I know that the capologists say the moves made were just to get Cousins off the books, but because of the familiarity with Stefanski from stops in Minnesota, did you put it at like a 100-1 that Cousins comes back?
I think it's a possibility. I think, again, I think that he'll end up being released, which doesn't mean he can't re-sign with the Falcons. In theory, they could restructure the contract again, but there's just so much money left on that deal. I don't think there's any way they pay him $67 million on March the 13th. I would fall on the floor if that happened. But I think that, you know, does he go out there and look around, and maybe now with a guy like Kevin Stefanski, who he's familiar with, who he had a lot of success with, is he more willing to potentially come back? Sure, I think lots of things could happen. But, I think we're way away from even being able to predict what will and won't happen.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Look, this offseason is just starting. Josh Kendall, follow him on The Athletic, guys. Thanks so much for stopping by, Josh. We'll see you at the presser next week, and have a great weekend, man. We appreciate you.
Y'all too.
That's Josh Kendall.